Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the Murder Tape Chronicles. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present Ink and Arsenic, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, Needle and Nightmares. I never meant to be a killer. But when you spend enough time drowning in your own blood and learning the taste of metal from a busted lip, when every scream you swallow turns into something jagged inside you, murder starts to feel like a fucking love language. Carson Hayes made me this way. And now, I'm going to return the favor. The needle hums in my hand, a familiar vibration, steady and unyielding. I drag it along the skin of my latest client, a tourist getting a stupid little quote inked on her ribs. Some bullshit about strength and survival. I've heard it all before. People come to Mercy Inc. looking for meaning, for permanence. They don't realize nothing in this world lasts, not love, not pain, not even life itself. But ink. Ink lingers. I watch as the black lines form against her skin, sinking in deep, binding to her. A mark she'll carry for the rest of her days, whether that's years or just a few hours. See, that's the thing about tattooing. It's intimate. Permanent. There's something sacred about embedding a story beneath someone's flesh. That's why I started doing it in the first place, because I wanted to tell stories. I wanted to create something beautiful in a world that never gave me anything but pain. And then I learned that ink could do more than that. It could kill. The tourist moans about the sting of the needle, shifting in my chair. God, that hurts more than I expected. I smile, my voice smooth as I work. Pain is part of it. Makes it real. She laughs softly, like I've just shared some great wisdom. But she doesn't understand the truth in my words. Pain does make it real. I know this because I spent 3 years learning the art of suffering. 3 years under the rule of Sheriff Carson Hayes. 3 years with a man who didn't just break me, he shattered me. A man who made sure that even after I got away, I never truly escaped. And now, that same son of a bitch is back in town, wearing a fucking badge. I finish the tourist's tattoo, wiping away the last bit of blood and excess ink. She admires my work in the mirror, gushing about how perfect it looks, how much she loves it. She doesn't realize how little I care. I take her money, send her on her way, and the second she's out the door, I lock up. Then I pour myself a drink. The liquor burns its way down my throat, sharp and merciless. I welcome it. It keeps the fire inside me alive. The rage. The hunger. Because this time I won't run. This time, I won't be the one bleeding. I walk to my station, where my tools are neatly arranged. The needles. The ink. The bottles I've mixed myself, precise and perfect. Arsenic is a delicate thing, you know. Too much and it's obvious. Too little and it takes too long. But just the right amount? It's art. I sit down at my workbench and start preparing the ink. My hands are steady. My heart is steady. Because I've been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. When Carson comes walking through my doors, all smug and self-righteous, thinking he still owns me, I'll be ready. I'll carve something into his skin that no one will ever forget. And when he finally realizes what I've done, it'll be too fucking late. Chapter 2, Blood and Blue Badges. Carson fucking Hayes walks into my shop like he owns the place. Like he owns me. The little bell over the door chimes, soft and unassuming, but the second I lay eyes on him, my body goes stiff, my grip tightening around the tattoo machine I'm cleaning. I don't flinch. I don't gasp. I don't let the ghosts crawling up my spine take hold. No. I've waited too long for this moment. He looks different, but not in a way that matters. Still the same sharp jaw, the same cocky smirk stretched across his lips. The same dead eyes that used to pin me down, make me feel like nothing. But now there's a fucking badge on his chest. Sheriff Carson Hayes. The irony almost makes me laugh. A murderer wearing a hero's uniform. A monster dressed up like justice. He leans against my counter, tilting his head, looking at me like a wolf sizing up a lamb. Sloan Mercer, he says, slow and lazy, his voice dripping with the same condescension it always had. Been a while, hasn't it? The sound of my name in his mouth makes my stomach curl, but I don't let it show. I light a cigarette instead, inhaling deep before blowing the smoke right in his face. I want to see him flinch. He doesn't. Not long enough, I mutter. He grins, his teeth white, perfect, like he hasn't spent the last few years drowning in whiskey and bad decisions. I can smell it on him now, just beneath the cologne, the scent of cheap booze and arrogance. You always had that smart mouth, he says, tapping his fingers on the glass counter. Guess that hasn't changed. I exhale another lungful of smoke. Neither have you. He laughs at that, a low, rumbling sound that scrapes across my nerves like sandpaper. I hear you're the best tattoo artist in town. He rolls up his sleeve, revealing the same arm I once marked with a knife in a desperate bid to escape. The scar is still there, jagged and angry. Good. I need some new ink, he says. My fingers twitch. My heart beats just a little faster. Oh yeah, I say, keeping my voice steady. He nods. Something big. Something with meaning. He smirks. I was thinking a full back piece. Something powerful. What do you think? I take a slow drag of my cigarette, letting the silence stretch. Then I smile, flicking the ash into the tray beside me. I think that sounds perfect. That night I prepare. I go through my bottles, my pigments, my tools. Everything needs to be flawless. Every drop of ink must be just right. I've done this before. Not to Carson, not yet, but to others. The first time was an accident. A junkie who stiffed me on payment, thinking I'd let it slide. I let him walk out of here with a full sleeve and an itch beneath his skin he couldn't scratch. 2 weeks later, he was found in a dirty motel, foaming at the mouth, heart blown apart from an overdose. The second one was deliberate. A rich asshole who liked to put his hands on women who didn't want him. I gave him an intricate black and gray piece on his chest, a raven spreading its wings across his ribs. What he didn't know was that death was already woven into the lines. The poison did its work. Slow. Untraceable. His heart stopped in his sleep. Now Carson is next. I mix the ink carefully, blending the perfect cocktail of arsenic and iron oxide, making sure the compound is stable. Too little and he'll survive. Too much, and someone might start asking questions. It has to be slow. It has to be painful. Because this isn't just about killing him. No, that would be too easy. This is about watching him fall apart. Watching him rot from the inside out, just like he did to me. By the time I'm finished, I lean back in my chair, staring at the small glass vial in my hand. The ink inside is dark, smooth, unassuming. It's perfect. I exhale, rubbing my fingers over my wrist where the faintest hint of a scar still lingers. A reminder of the past. Of the last time he touched me. Tomorrow I'll touch him. Tomorrow I start carving his death sentence into his flesh. When Carson walks through my door the next evening, I'm ready. He's wearing his uniform like he wants me to respect it, like he thinks I'll look at the badge and forget the bruises, the broken ribs, the nights I spent gasping for breath under his weight. But I don't forget. I never forget. I guide him to the chair, strapping on my gloves, keeping my movements smooth, professional. Lay down, I say. He does. Trusts me. Lets me touch him again. Lets me run my fingers along his back, pretending to map out the design. If he knew what I was really doing, he'd have his gun in my face. I fire up the tattoo machine. The hum fills the room, steady and rhythmic. My pulse matches it. The first needle pierces his skin, and I smile. You ready? I ask. Carson grunts. Just get it over with. Oh, don't worry, Sheriff. I will. One drop of ink at a time. Chapter 3, Death in Black and Gray. The first drop of ink slides into Carson Hayes' skin, and with it, I begin the slow process of killing him. I take my time. Each movement is deliberate, the needle buzzing in my gloved hand like a wasp preparing to sting. The black ink seeps into his back, spreading beneath the surface, burying itself deep where no one can see what I've hidden. He doesn't flinch. Not yet. Carson always liked to pretend he was untouchable. That pain didn't faze him. That nothing could ever bring him down. But pain is patient. Poison is patient. And so am I. The irony of it all is that he's trusting me. He's lying there, stretched out on my chair like he doesn't have a care in the world. Like he doesn't remember what he did to me. Like he doesn't still taste the blood of the women he's destroyed. But I remember. I remember the nights I spent locked in our apartment, choking on fear, his fist still imprinted on my ribs, my body trembling from the force of his rage. I remember the feeling of cold tile against my cheek, my vision blurred from the hits, my breath coming in ragged gasps. And I remember the night I finally fought back. The knife in my hand, his blood on the floor. The shock in his eyes when he realized I wasn't just some fragile little thing he could break over and over again. But I didn't kill him that night. No, I was stupid. I let him live. I ran. And now here he is, lying beneath my hands, letting me mark him one last time. I drag the needle lower, filling in the dark edges of the snake's scales. The design twists and coils over his shoulder blades down his spine. A viper. A predator. Just like him. Just like me. Damn, Sloan, he mutters, voice slightly muffled against the chair. You're still fucking good at this. I smirk, even though he can't see it. Oh, you have no idea. The second session. The poison needs time to settle. The first session alone won't be enough to finish him. I need him to come back to keep sitting in my chair while the toxin festers inside his bloodstream, eating away at him from the inside. So I let him leave that night. I watch him walk out of my shop like a dead man who doesn't know he's already rotting. And he does come back. Because of course he does. By the second session, I can already see the changes. Subtle things. The way he rubs at his eyes like he's having trouble focusing. The way his hand trembles just slightly when he reaches for his wallet. He thinks he's just tired. Maybe dehydrated. But I know better. When he settles onto my chair again, I catch the faint scent of sweat clinging to his skin. His body is already starting to betray him. I press the needle into his back, watching the new ink sink into his flesh. You've been feeling all right? He exhales sharply, the buzz of the machine filling the silence. Yeah, just been a rough week. Running the department keeps me busy. I hum in response. Gotta take care of yourself, Sheriff. Wouldn't want you dropping dead on me. He chuckles. I'm tougher than that, sweetheart. I bite my tongue to keep from laughing. Tough. Carson doesn't even realize that his organs are already screaming beneath his skin. That every cell in his body is starting to wither. That by the time I'm done with him, he'll be nothing but a hollowed-out corpse with a badge still pinned to his chest. The thought of it makes my blood sing. This isn't just revenge. This is art. I add the final touches to the viper's fangs, making them gleam like they're ready to strike. By the time I finish the second session, Carson is sweating. He pushes himself up from the chair, rolling his shoulders, wincing slightly. Damn, he mutters, rubbing his forehead. Must be coming down with something. I keep my expression neutral. Yeah, you don't look so great. Probably just stress. He pulls his shirt back on, not realizing that his real stress is still crawling through his veins, weaving its way toward his heart. I hand him a bottle of water, pretending to be concerned. Stay hydrated. You've still got one more session left. He drinks half of it before nodding, giving me that same smug smirk that used to make me feel small. Looking forward to it. And that's when I know he has no fucking clue what's coming. The third session, the final touches. The night before our final session, I don't sleep. I sit in my dark apartment above the shop, staring at my hands, at the ink still staining my skin. This is it. The last step. After tomorrow, Carson Hayes will be dead. By now, the poison should be fully embedded in his bloodstream. His liver already failing. His heart weakening. But he won't feel the worst of it just yet. That's the beauty of it. He'll keep going about his days, pretending he's still in control. Still powerful. Until one day, he wakes up and realizes he can't fucking move. And then he dies. The thought makes me smile. Tomorrow, I put the final mark on him. The last stroke of my masterpiece. And when he leaves my shop for the last time, he'll be walking straight into his grave. I take a long drag from my cigarette, exhaling smoke toward the ceiling. By this time next week, there will be a funeral in this town. And I'll be the only one who knows it isn't a tragedy. It's justice. Chapter 4, The Final Stroke. I wake up to the sound of rain beating against my window. It's dark outside. The kind of dark that swallows everything whole. The kind of dark that reminds me of the nights I spent locked in a room with a man who thought he could own me. But not anymore. Because today is the day I finish what I started. I don't waste time. I shower, dress, and go downstairs to Mercy Inc., my temple, my war room. Everything is ready. The ink is mixed, the poison settled inside it like a quiet, lurking death. Carson's final session is tonight. By the time I'm done with him, he'll be beyond saving. He arrives like a dead man walking. When Carson walks in, he looks like shit. The arrogance is still there, buried beneath the exhaustion, but I see the cracks forming. His hands tremble slightly when he takes off his jacket. His skin is paler than before, sweat clinging to his forehead. He thinks it's just stress. Maybe some bad food. He has no idea his organs are already failing. Long night. I ask, masking my satisfaction. Carson sighs, running a hand through his damp hair. Yeah. Fucking hell of a week. I motion toward the chair. Well, let's finish this up then. Last session. You ready? He grins, shaking off whatever fatigue is dragging him down. Born ready, sweetheart. Oh, you stupid, stupid man. I turn away to hide my smirk. The needle dances, the poison sings. I fire up the machine, the steady buzz filling the air. It sounds like music to me. A requiem. A death song. Carson lies down on the chair, rolling his shoulders before settling in. I press the needle to his back, right over the Viper's head, and begin working. Every stroke is precise. Every drop of ink a silent execution order. He groans a little, shifting beneath my touch. You all right? I ask, feigning concern. He exhales slowly. Yeah, just fuck. Feels weird today. I keep tattooing unfazed. Weird how? I don't know. Like my skin's burning. Like it's too deep. I tilt my head, dragging the needle lower, embedding more of the poison into his flesh. You sure it's not just your nerves? A piece this big, especially across the spine, can do that. Carson chuckles weakly. Guess I'm just getting old. I smile. Guess so. He has no fucking clue. The moment he starts to break. 15 minutes in, he starts sweating more. 20 minutes, his breath gets heavier. 30 minutes, his fingers twitch. By the time I start working on the last section, he suddenly jerks forward, pushing himself up from the chair. Fuck, he hisses, shaking his head, blinking rapidly. Shit, I feel dizzy. I step back, watching the panic flicker across his face. Want some water? I offer, knowing damn well it won't help. Carson rubs his face, his jaw tight. Yeah, maybe. Fuck, I don't know. He grips the arms of the chair, forcing himself to steady. I just feel off. Off. That's one way to put it. I walk over to the counter, grab a bottle of water, and hand it to him. He gulps some down, his Adam's apple bobbing, sweat trailing down his temple. He's unraveling. I can see it. The poison is in full effect now. His body is deteriorating, cells shutting down one by one, his nerves misfiring, his heart struggling. But he still thinks he's fine. He still thinks he'll walk out of here alive. Fool. Maybe we should finish another time, he mutters, rubbing his temple. I think I just need some sleep. I arch a brow. You sure? We're almost done. He hesitates. He doesn't want to back out, doesn't want to look weak. That's Carson, always pretending to be invincible, even when he's fucking dying. He exhales sharply. Yeah, fuck it. Let's finish. Good. I pick up the machine again and lean over him, the needle pressing against his poisoned flesh. This won't take long, I murmur. And it doesn't. Not the tattoo. Not his life. The last drop of ink. By the time I finish, he's barely holding himself together. He stands up too fast, stumbling slightly, gripping the counter for balance. His pupils are blown wide, his breath shallow. I pretend not to notice. You good? I ask, tilting my head. He forces a grin, but I see the fear behind it. Yeah, just gotta get home. Get some rest. I wipe my hands on a towel, watching him carefully. He won't make it through the week. His heart will give out. His liver will shut down. The poison will make sure of that. And when they find his body, they'll think it's natural causes. No one will question the ink on his skin. No one will know his death was slow and painful, just the way he deserved. I walk him to the door, standing in the threshold as he steps out into the rain. He hesitates, turns back to me. Thanks, Sloane. You really are the best. I smile sweetly, tucking my hands into my pockets. Oh, I know. He walks away. And I close the door behind him, sealing his fate with a final, satisfied breath. Chapter 5. Ashes and Arsenic. Carson Hayes dies slowly. At first, no one notices. The great Sheriff Hayes still walks through town like he's untouchable, still wears that fucking badge like it means something. But inside, he's already rotting. By the second day after his final session, he's weaker. He doesn't understand why. The dizziness doesn't go away. The nausea clings to him. He thinks it's stress. Maybe bad food. But I know better. I sit behind the counter at Mercy Inc., watching the town move around me. Every now and then, I hear murmurs. The sheriff ain't looking too good. Saw him damn near pass out in his office. I light a cigarette and inhale deeply, the taste of nicotine and satisfaction rolling over my tongue. It's happening. The poison is settling in. It's working its way through his bloodstream, taking its time, crawling into his organs like a slow-burning fire. His body is turning against him, cell by cell, until there won't be anything left but a husk wearing a uniform. But I don't just want him to die. No. I want to watch him break first. Day 3. The sheriff starts to crack. I make my way into town that afternoon, blending into the background the way I always do. And there he is, sitting in his patrol car, head tilted back against the seat, looking like absolute shit. His skin is pale, almost sickly, a sheen of sweat on his forehead even though the air is crisp. His jaw is clenched, one hand gripping the steering wheel so tight his knuckles are white. He looks like he's fighting something. I smirk to myself. Oh, Carson, you're not fighting shit. You're losing. I walk past without a word, not even sparing him a glance. He's too focused on whatever is happening inside him to even notice me. I hear the car door open behind me, a sharp grunt of effort. Then a cough, wet, ragged, like something is rotting inside his lungs. I take my time lighting another cigarette, exhaling smoke into the cold air. TikTok, motherfucker. You're running out of time. Day 4, he knows something is wrong. By the next day, he knows. He's late for work. He never used to be late. The town is starting to whisper now. The sheriff don't look too good. Maybe he's sick? Man looks like he's been through hell. You have no idea. I stroll into the diner that morning, taking a seat at the counter like I have no idea what's happening. And then he walks in. Or tries to. The door swings open, and Carson stumbles inside like he's dragging himself through quicksand. His uniform is wrinkled, his collar loose, sweat clinging to his skin despite the chill outside. I sip my coffee watching. He barely makes it to the counter before he grips it for balance, his chest rising and falling unevenly. His fingers twitch. His hands shake. He's struggling. He knows something is killing him. The waitress, a sweet girl named Mara, frowns as she approaches him. Sheriff, you okay? Carson licks his lips, swaying slightly. Yeah, just need a coffee. His voice is hoarse. Weak. Mara hesitates before nodding and pouring him a cup. He grabs it with an unsteady grip, lifting it to his lips. He doesn't drink. Just stares into the liquid like he's trying to figure something out. Then his eyes flick up. And they land on me. I raise my cup in a mock toast and take a slow sip, watching the realization flicker across his face. For the first time in his miserable life, Carson Hayes looks scared. And fuck, it's beautiful. Day 5, death comes knocking. I don't see him the next morning. Not at the diner. Not at the station. That's when I know. It's over. Still, I wait. I go about my day as if I don't already know the ending to this story. And then by late afternoon I hear it. The sirens. The ambulance speeds through town, sirens wailing, heading toward his house on the outskirts. People gather in the streets, murmuring, concerned. The sheriff. Something happened to the sheriff. I stand at my shop window, smoking another cigarette, watching the chaos unfold from a distance. Then, the radio crackles from a nearby patrol car. Unresponsive, possible poisoning, unable to stabilize. My lips curl into a slow, wicked smile. Checkmate. The autopsy won't save him. They say he died in his sleep. That his body just gave out. The doctors don't know why. The coroner calls it multiple organ failure. Some kind of rare, undiagnosed condition. Maybe genetics. Maybe a disease that went unnoticed. They don't suspect murder. They don't suspect the ink that still lingers in his flesh, etched deep into his veins like a death sentence written in permanent black. The funeral happens 2 days later. I don't go. Instead, I sit in my shop, smoking, tattooing some idiot's girlfriend's name on his wrist while the town mourns a man they never really knew. A man they thought was good. A man who was nothing but a fucking monster in uniform. I could have killed him 100 different ways. A gun. A knife. A bullet to the skull. But no. That would have been too easy. I wanted him to suffer. And he did. The final goodbye. A week later, a patrol car rolls up outside Mercy Inc. Mara, the waitress from the diner, steps out, looking hesitant. She clutches a small box in her hands. I open the door before she can knock. She fidgets, biting her lip. Hey, they found this at the sheriff's house. His sister's cleaning the place out and said it had your name on it. I raise a brow. My name. She nods, handing the box over. It's small. Black. Unassuming. I take it, my pulse steady, my face unreadable. Mara shifts uncomfortably. I don't know what happened to him, but I know you two had history. She hesitates. Are you okay? I smile. I tell her what I always tell people. I never met the man. She nods, uneasy, before walking back to her car. I step inside and close the door, staring at the box in my hands. Inside, there's only one thing. Carson's badge. I hold it up, turning it in the dim light. The metal gleams, polished, untouched by the death it belonged to. Then I drop it in the trash. I light another cigarette, exhaling slow, content. And for the first time in my life, I am finally, finally free. The end.